It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and let's start with this. We will get to why the absence of ESPN led to a much better sporting night, at least sports watching night for me. We'll talk about how fun the NBA was last night. Of course, we'll get into Green Bay and Philly, but I want to start with this because why not? I've been already doing something like this for 3 hours. I can start how I like. Kenneth, our intern, is out there cutting up the final hour of the John and Lance show. He'll have that for you guys who want to listen to it immediately. He made an appearance on the show today, and he runs a couple of accounts. His own, Kenneth Bowman. If you want to follow Kenneth, you can at KJBOWM. Great intern. He's the one who makes sure the John and Lance show is up and ready for you when you want to listen. He was also talking to Lance about the Cougs. He covers the Cougs. He went to Big 12 Media Days. He has been to Wichita to cover them. He's locked in on Cougs basketball, number one team in the country this year after jumping Purdue over the weekend. He also runs Coug TV. It's at UH Coug TV. So if you want more news about the Cougs, that's where you go. They break down and have insight on, well, what is a good time for Cougs sports. Of course, the Cougs bounced back and beat UCF over the weekend after their loss against who did they just lose to?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. That was upsetting. That was a game they were expected to win. They didn't. But they bounced back on Friday night and beat the UCF Knights. And, of course, basketball's there for you as well. So, ruling, Sean. Kenneth runs both his and the UH Coug TV account. He grabbed a screenshot of himself, because we have Twitch and YouTube and Twitter for people to watch. He grabbed a screenshot of himself on with John and Lance. Great. Cool. First time on. I get it. He then quote tweeted it, but wrote it in like the third person on Coug TV. So it wasn't like Kenneth Bowman was on. He goes, our very own Kenneth Bowman featured on the morning show. What's the ruling here? We good with the quote tweet, pretending like you don't run both accounts? I get what you're doing. Understand, hey, in this
brand
day and age.
He's speaking for the brand.
Yes, he's speaking for the brand. Yeah. He's not speaking in his voice. He's speaking in UH Coug TV's voice. But knowing what you know, because you know the same person is running both.
Yeah.
What's the ruling? Yay or nay, fair or foul, on quote tweeting and pretending like you're not just writing about yourself?
I need to pull it up for myself.
Yeah, we know. We know, Kenneth. We can hear him. It's not. I know. It's not even me.
You know what? I think this is fair.
It's fair, right?
I think so. Fair because not only did he tag himself, he tagged Lance.
He tagged
John.
ESPN ISM5. He tagged them all.
It wasn't just, you know, self-promotion.
Yeah, self-serving.
Naked self-promotion.
Sure.
It was clothed self-promotion. But yeah, I think this is 100% fair. No exclamation point. That's nice. Well, there was a thanks for having me on. I'll allow
that's
that.
That's under his personal
account.
Yeah,
I'll allow that.
Yeah.
But I don't think Cougs TV should, you know, we should go exclamation points willy-nilly.
Yeah, they're a media organization.
Serious organization.
Thank you. I just wanted to know. I don't mind it, but maybe my opinion is off. I think it's fair as well.
I don't wonder. How much do we think that this happens?
I think it happens quite a bit.
I think it happens
maybe all
the
time, yeah. Where you have someone acknowledging themselves when they're running the more widespread media account. I think it happens quite a bit. Kenneth's not the first.
No. No.
I just find it.
Sam doesn't do that.
I don't know if she has her own personal account. I just know it was just funny that the guy doing it is 10 feet away. That's all. That's all. I've never been that close to the person while they're doing it.
You've never seen the sausages get made like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I do credit him for being quick with it.
They make it very easy to flip through. Because I've been signed in on either ESPN 97.5 or other radio stations. And I can just do it on my phone.
Yeah.
And, like, you just flip from one to another.
And that's how sometimes people get in trouble.
Yes, it's also how people get in trouble. Luckily, I don't know.
What's going to happen to you? This is all a way of saying follow UH Cougar TV. Follow them for the best in Cougar coverage as pretty much, I guess I would say, student-driven. And they cover the Cougs in a way that maybe is pretty unique. So follow them if you want to hear more about the Cougs at UH Cougar TV.
Yeah. And at KJBOWM.
If you want to follow the man behind that account.
The first four letters of Bowman.
Yeah. If you want to follow the man and the myth. You can do both. Thank you, Kenneth, for what you do on the podcast and for filling a segment. Because that's what I do here.
And thank you to Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts for making this possible.
Yeah, because I would have talked about the game, but I found that I didn't need to early because of what those two were up to yesterday.
We've all seen Iowa versus Minnesota. We know what last night was.
And Iowa might get a mention a little bit later as part of our misery index because the game – watching it was miserable, the weather was miserable, and then how Iowa lost had to be miserable for Iowa fans. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We probably will do that at 11 as we go through what college football brought us over the weekend with the CFP coming up. We'll see how the games and their results affect the rankings in the second week of the CFP. We'll get to that in hour two. Okay, so you had Green Bay and Philly, and I kept an eye on that on my laptop. I don't have the ability to watch ESPN without doing it through less than legal means. So let's just say I found a way. But I will say I don't take the Packers seriously anymore because I started the year after they acquired Micah Parsons and then they punked the Lions. I thought, oh, now I can take the Packers seriously. I probably should have got off of them after they lost to the Panthers and the Browns, but let's pack it up now. Jordan Love, get out of here. He falls into the category of quarterbacks that I'll throw. He's probably half a tier above if I want to do tiers above Trevor Lawrence, but he's in that same jumble where, okay, if it happens next year or maybe later this year, then I will reevaluate, but that team should be much better offensively than they are. And he mentioned it. They let the defense down. The defense played well. You hold the Eagles to 10 points. You only score 7. Of course, the big play, one of the big plays, 4th and 1. They hand it off to Josh Jacobs. He doesn't get it. Credit to, I think, Jalen Carter and newly acquired Eagle, Jalen Phillips, who had a big night. Well, he should, considering he said the trade was the best moment of his life. So, reward. Yeah, Sean, he did say that. I know you made a face.
Best moment of his life.
I don't know. I think he may be recently engaged. I don't know. But he said this was the best moment of his life. So he and his family can deal with whatever that means as far as what ranks highest. But he said that, and he made plays. He's still someone, at least initially, who can pressure the quarterback, who can hurry the quarterback, but can't sack the quarterback. Maybe that'll come. But he forced a fumble. He recovered a fumble. And Howie Roseman called it a no-brainer to make the trade. They gave up a third rounder, and I think it's their own third rounder. I think they had two. So their third rounder is not going to be as high as the one they own, maybe from the Jets. So he showed out. We had another tush-push controversy. All the things that I don't like about Eagles football happened. Are you finding the quote?
Jalen Phil. No, well, I didn't look for the quote. I just looked up Jalen Phillips' child, and he and his fiance.
Oh, he has a child. Are they expecting?
Expecting in March of 2026. Good on him. Waiting for after the Super Bowl, but yeah.
So
he announced it in October of 2025. He gets traded early November, and he's like, "Man, this is the best thing that ever happened."
Well, the kid isn't here yet.
Okay,
maybe things will. He's not married yet, and the kid isn't here yet. So So maybe getting traded to the Eagles will be pushed further down the list as these other life accomplishments okay. happen.
It's the number one for – it's like how in the very first CFP ranking in 2014, Mississippi State was number one.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but that was fun when it happened.
The things that have happened are like trailers to the actual events.
Okay, okay. So Jalen Phillips, you're good. Like, I'm sure his girlfriend, or I'm sure his fiance.
I'm sure his cool fiance may.
Yeah, when I proposed to you, second to the phone call I got from Howie Roseman.
Or he probably got it from Chris Greer, who'd been fired. Probably got it from Champ Kelly. Hey, you're traded.
What's up, Champ?
You're out of here. You're going to Philly. I would think the girlfriend rates the proposal higher than he does.
Probably.
Generally, that's how it's perceived, that a woman's going to love the proposal more. I don't know if that's always the case. Maybe he sees her walking down the aisle as the final goal, the final boss, and he'll rank that above being traded to the Eagles. That dirty ass trash ass city. Yeah, job not finished.
Job not finished.
Yeah, let's make sure in about 8 months, 9 months, whenever they get married, that comes off without a hitch, and then he can rank it higher. And then of course you're gonna have the baby as well. Another moment that will stack above getting traded to the Eagles, where there's no guarantee you'll be there at the end of this season.
But, you know, maybe by the end of 2026, maybe it's still on the podium of best moment of Jalen Phillips' life.
Yeah, the baby is
NFL transaction.
The baby's due in March. I don't know when his marriage date is scheduled for. So it might be.
Yeah.
Maybe getting a big deal from the Eagles because you show out may top the trade. But credit to Jalen Phillips for not disappointing Eagle fans because they would have turned on him really quick.
Yeah, last night had it been, I don't know, six, seven best moment of his life.
I don't know if that's the case, but
got the win.
He's a man who sometimes turns off social media after games because, of course, you're going to get the hate for whatever. I think he turned it off social media after he couldn't sack Justin Herbert and people got after him in one of the Dolphins' losses this year. If he had played poorly, Eagle fans would have, hey, let's find Jalen Phillips. They've already probably found the account to follow him because he's their new guy. Then they would have turned that into some ugliness. But he didn't have to worry about it. He was big time last night. The Eagles get a win. One of their uglier football games in prime time in recent memory. You get two teams who have Super Bowl aspirations, and they throw out, as you mentioned, a Big Ten football game at 11 a.m. that Pam Ward would be calling from like 10 years ago. Or Beth Mowins.
Yeah, yeah. It was Pat Fitzgerald-led Northwestern versus... I don't even know who was the Minnesota coach back then, but Minnesota.
Glenn Mason at a time, way back
Jerry
when.
Kill.
Yeah, yeah, more recent, sure. That's what it felt like. Or whoever the Indiana coach was before they got good.
Whoever that was.
Maybe Jerry DiNardo when he coached there. That's how last night felt. But Eagles win. They went ugly. But honestly... it's just a product of the NFL rule and all, because if you had just decided tonight wasn't the night you're going to focus on the NFL and you decide to watch the NBA, a lot of nonsense, a lot of craziness, a lot of good games happen. Cam Whitmore is heavily involved.
Yes.
We talked about him quite a bit because his return to Houston is imminent.
The city is preparing for his return.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure bunting is being put up around Toyota Center and posters saying, welcome back, Cam.
At the very least, the hotel room he's going to be staying is getting cleaned right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's happening. I'm sure they're staying at a very nice place, the Wizards. So we'll talk about that when we come back tonight. And the NBA was nuts. We got some sound from the Texans as well. D'Amico Ryans talked about a miraculous comeback, what he thought was the biggest play. And some other things about his running back core. We always like to say, sometimes the coaches up there are just saying stuff. Lance heard this. I didn't hear it personally, but Lance heard this from D'Amico Ryans, and we'll go to break with this. First of all, I'll say this. Sean, do you remember why Davis Mills scrambled for a touchdown? You remember how that play came about?
Wasn't there a pretty free rush from Trevon Walker?
There was. Yesterday, D'Amico Ryans said Trent Brown pretty much didn't lose a rep. Do you know who was attempting to block Trevon Walker?
Yeah, I can picture it in my head.
Yeah. So that's another instance of, the coach is just up there saying stuff. Yeah. Just up there saying stuff. Like, I don't even have to watch the film. I remember it when it happened. I can remember it distinctly because even in the play, J.J. Watt said, "Oh, that's a good rep."
Yes,
I forgot what a good rush. I think it's what he said in the middle of the play.
He went like, "Oh, Walker" or something.
Yeah,
like that
was how quickly he won, and then it forced Davis Mills out. A little fortunate because if you watch the play, there's no one open on third and goal from about your 11-yard line.
Just make a play.
So he made a play.
Davis.
He made a play thanks to Trent Brown getting his ass kicked, and then Davis Mills made it into a good play. So sometimes your coach is up there just saying stuff. Take it for what it is.
So that's a W for Trent Brown.
Yeah,
won that rep.
His ineptitude
ended in a touchdown.
His ineptitude led to a touchdown win for Trent Brown. We'll hear more from the coach on things he was actually right on. When we come back, and also we'll talk some NBA. We're just getting started here. But before we go, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, if you, unlike D'Amico Ryans, want to be right about stuff, maybe you can put a little money in a Prize Picks account and get started making money while you watch the games you love. Tonight, I mean, if I know our listeners, I know they love some action. I know they love Western Michigan versus Ohio. Give me more on Parker Navarro, Ohio quarterbacks, passing plus rushing yards at 247.5. I think he's going to light it up there on a Tuesday night. And then moving to the NBA, we've mentioned how bonkers the NBA night was. Well, you can get in on Ja Morant. I'm just going to take the less on 20.5 points until he scores more than 20 points, and when he stops moping around on the court all the time. So give me less on 20.5 for Ja Morant against the Knicks. And then OKC versus Golden State. We got Steph Curry. Give me more than 27.5 points and assists for Stephen Curry. That's what? A handful of threes. He only needs to make 9 threes, get 1 assist, and you make some money there. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Kane is in the building. There.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So last night in the NBA, you had someone named Dennis Jenkins knocking down a game-tying three for the Pistons on their way to beating the Wizards 137-135 in a game where Cade Cunningham set the record for most missed field goals in a game.
Shoot or shoot.
But he did score 40-plus points, so you're like, look, true hoopers know.
Yeah, that was 14 for 45? Come on.
Yes, 14 for 45.
That's going down shooting. And not even going down.
They won the game.
Yeah.
Did not go down. He was 16 of 18 for the line, so he could make some shots. He could just not make ones that were kind of contested.
The defense was the problem.
Yeah, 45 minutes, 45 shots, a shot a minute.
That's good work.
That's good work, and 14 shots made. The Pistons now 9-2. Yeah.
That just has to be so exhausting.
And he left the game for a little bit because Cam Whitmore fouled him hard. By the way, Cam Whitmore had a highlight dunk, but it was fine. It made the highlights. But in a game where he was fine, he scored his 20 points in 29 minutes. He was pretty efficient, didn't shoot the ball well from three.
Do you think he was like, man, what if I got to shoot 45 times?
I think he should step it up. He only got 11 shots up in 29 minutes. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, come on.
If Cade can get 45 up in 45, you can step it up a little bit. So he fouls Cade Cunningham hard on a drive by Cade Cunningham to the rim. He stares down Cade Cunningham as Cunningham's flat on his back, prone, trying to shake off the pain. And then he does the move where he like kind of wipes his feet as the Pistons, who are part of the, as I said this morning, the not effing around crew. Yeah. They're the one. The Rockets are one of those teams too. But the Pistons are full on. At any point, we might swing on you, Ron Holland, Jalen Doran, of course, Beef Stew. They're all there. Let them get Malik Beasley back. Duncan Robinson doesn't really fit the mold.
No,
but if they get Malik Beasley back, there's another one right there. All of them.
Yeah, Asar Thompson.
Well, yeah. There's another one. He fits. And Bickerstaff wasn't thrilled. He was out on the court, too, as the coach. They're all about it. Cam Whitmore was not impressed by the tone, by their yelling at him. He just said, whatever, I'm just going to wipe my feet. He did it a couple times to just let you know he didn't care what was going on. The Wizards stink. They're coming to town at 1-10. I'm only watching to see what Cam Whitmore does at this point. The game is going to be, I assume, a very easy Rockets win. But I hope that Cam Whitmore in his return gets up like 20 shots. Just keep firing.
They should try to showcase him.
For another trade?
No, just, you know, for the home fans.
Sure. I think the Wizards should start him, just so the PA guy has to acknowledge that Cam Whitmore's back.
Cam Whitmore.
Because other than that, when he enters the game, he might get a smattering of applause. We need to honor one of the guys who was thought to be part of the Rockets' core.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should do, like, core seven watch.
Well, two of them are already out the door.
Three of them.
Well, is Dylan Brooks part of the core?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It wasn't really
you're
core. Right. It was the young guys. And
I was just thinking of total guys, yeah.
Yeah, and Cam and Jalen were part of that. Jalen Green suffering a hamstring injury, a re-aggravation of the one that kept him out for most of the year. So he's out for quite a bit now. So that happened, 137-135. The Pistons, who the Rockets lost to earlier in the year, are now 9-2, top of the Eastern Conference. We had Desmond Bane, who had not made a three all game, make an impossible three-pointer to beat the Bulls after the Bulls and Jeremy Grant made this kind of gravity-defying a lob catch to lay it in. So, and then you actually had what happened in Miami. Donovan Mitchell makes a fall-away three as he's falling out of bounds with Khalil Ware, a 7-footer, trying to contest a shot. And then 0.4 seconds left. The Cavs lose Andrew Wiggins for a lob dunk to win it. So, as I said in the first segment, if we weren't so like NFL-pilled that we have to watch everything they put on, if we just decided to turn our eye to what the NBA had going, it was a good night. But it was on a Monday night, so
yeah,
I don't know how many people saw.
The script should have been for that to be Tuesday. That's what Adam Silver should have waited.
Yeah, we know they control what happens in these games.
Obviously.
They should have pushed these results or these type of games to tonight.
Game-winning Andrew Wiggins alley-oop would have done crazy numbers if it was on a Wednesday.
Instead, we're talking about like, false starts on the tush push again.
Could Christian Watson have caught that pass?
Yeah, and he said yes. Someone asked a question. He quote tweeted and said yes. I should have caught that pass. The one where he's completely lost and then turns himself into a defender for no reason.
And then it hits like not even the top of his head, like the middle of his helmet.
Yeah, all you have to do is be Christian Watson, bigger than a DB, focus on the football, you make the catch. Instead, he goes, Jordan Love's been terrible all night. I think
probably going to the DB.
I got to turn myself into a DB when he had no reason to. I do appreciate him seeing that, acknowledging it, and saying, yeah, I should have made that play.
Yeah,
it was part of a night where the Packers only score 7
LaFleur
points.
Doesn't even have to bring it up in the film session, you know.
Does he just walk in and go like an NBA player does when they gamble and miss on a and it turns into a layup or they commit a foul? Just put your arm up and go on me.
The kid in the commercial is off me, coach.
Yeah,
he's just like I could have caught that, coach. I know,
coach. We can move past this play. Everyone knows it was my fault. Even I know it's my fault.
Now turn on some of that Romeo Dubs stuff. Come on.
There was a
he screwed up.
You know, they do this thing on the internet where they do a thing where they put a player's highlights together, but they kind of black the player out while they're playing. I didn't know they did it in the NFL. They do it certainly a lot in the NBA. Guess the player. They did it for an NFL wide receiver, and because Romeo Dubs wears a Guardian cap, someone was like,
the silhouette.
I know that big melon anywhere. And of course, it was Romeo Dubs in all his plays. Like the only, like there are a couple receivers to do it, but the only one you would put together, a highlight tape for is him. And someone was like, I know that guy, that big dome. I'd never be able to miss it.
It is partially a credit to him that he's kind of become the face of the Guardian cap, yeah, as far as NFL players go.
Is he the best player to wear one?
He's definitely the best skill position player.
Yeah, I think he is.
But I've only noticed like a guy here or there, and he's really, you know, he's the leading receiver on a decent team.
Decent team who yeah. we maybe who can take
people
seriously.
People thought was really good.
Yeah. You know, there's some other guys like Taylor Rapp for the Bills, but yeah, I think he is the best
there's
player.
There's no lineman that wears it that, I'll be honest, like, I don't not a big
There
fan.
Are some linemen that wear them, but no stars.
I think
stars.
There's like a Bucks lineman. I was like, nah, get out of here with this.
Take it off. Stop being safe.
I'm saying, yeah, if, yeah. Doesn't project, you know, cool. I'm protecting my quarterback.
I guess. I mean, I don't mind it, but I get what you're saying.
Just,
you're a lineman. Stop wearing it.
Yeah, that's why Tytus Howard was allowed to be on the sideline and CJ Stroud had to watch the game in a dark room.
Yeah, we don't know why one was on the sideline. I saw Tytus Howard. I'm not sure why CJ wasn't, but we do know that he and all of them, including Jalen Petrie, are still in concussion protocol. D'Amico Ryans told us that yesterday, so we will wait and see on Wednesday if those guys are back and able to play. You would have hoped that would have flipped, but you know, Nico was in for a week, and then when it was time for practice, he was back on a limited basis as he worked himself back. And
Wednesday, Thursdays.
Yeah, so. We'll find out about those guys and see if we're missing on them we're missing them for 2 weeks. Like, D'Amico announced CJ was done on Wednesday of last week.
Yeah.
We will see if that's the case, or maybe we get some better news and he's able to work himself back into playing against the Titans. All right, speaking of D'Amico, let's hear from the head coach before we go to break here. Let's hear from D'Amico on what it means to win that game. We have put our words to it. Hey, you're now 4-5. You're only a game back of the last seed in the playoffs. If you had lost, you'd lose a tiebreaker to the Jags, and they're now 6-3. So it would have been a really tough climb to get there. And of course, the Chiefs are lurking at 5-4 as well. Now, just because Trevon Walker beat Trent Brown and Tavis Mills ran it in, you got a real shot. Your schedule gets tougher after the Titans game, but hey, let's beat the Titans and we'll talk about what's next after that. So here's D'Amico Ryans on what he thinks the win means.
Yeah, I take it. You know, I take this moment right now, and I'm a relish in this moment and love this moment for how our team battled, right? And yes, I hope it's a springboard for us, you know, moving throughout the season, that we continue to see that you can. It doesn't matter, right, what the scoreboard looks like. It's about how you execute, how you finish, how you play together, and how you have that belief in one another and in yourself, right, to go out and finish games like this.
It's a win that validates a coach when he tells you keep fighting, keep playing, stay in it, because it would have been easy. 29-10, you're banged up on your offensive line. You're not moving the football. Your defense could have kind of spit the bit considering they had really nothing to do with why you're down the way you were. I mean, they gave up a touchdown in the third quarter on a legitimate drive by the Jags. But other than that, they were put in awful positions throughout thanks to special teams and your offense. And yet, they all stayed together. So the question was asked, and I'll ask you this, because I'm not sure about it. Lance brought this up. He was wondering whether this comeback could have happened under C.J. Stroud because – not because of talent, not because he thinks Davis Mills is better, but because from the outside, it looks like C.J. Stroud allows bad things when they happen to affect his emotions, his attitude, and how he'll play. You could say he's a bad body language guy when things don't go well.
I think that's fair.
If they're down 29-10, and once again, this isn't about who's the better quarterback. I'm not saying that to you for anyone who might get confused. It's not about the better quarterback, not who should be starting for the Texans going forward. But is Davis Mills, and we saw it, at least we have an example of it, better equipped because of whatever to stay in it, not allow the 29-10 deficit to affect them? Was he the better option in that situation?
I don't know, because it's like, it is body language. Like, we don't actually know what either guy is thinking. They could be thinking the same thing.
True.
And Davis Mills is better at not, like, dropping his head, you know, after an incomplete pass.
Yep.
So I understand the like the conclusion that you draw there, or that Lance is thrown out there, but I'm not actually sure if he gave like some, you know, Matt Searson like, hey guys, we can still do that. Like, I don't know if that's actually what Davis Mills did, or if it was just they ended up stringing together some good runs and enough good passes to lead the ball down the field.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to ask, because Davis Mills made several throws on 3rd and 10 to keep drives alive. He threw a touchdown to Jaden Higgins on a 3rd and 10, where plenty of gotta have it. He made the throws when they needed him.
But is that because he
kept his
never gave up?
Yeah, I don't know. To like, your point, I don't. It's all guesswork. I don't know what Davis Mills' mentality is compared to C.J. Stroud's. You just look at C.J. and you know when things are going poorly, because his body will. If you weren't even watching the game, if you just for whatever reason no score bug existed and you just turned on the game, you're like, oh, okay. Look at the quarterback. Things are probably going pretty poorly.
And I understand, like, to me, that's, you know, pretty fair criticism. Be like, hey, you're the quarterback. You're the leader on the field. Can you not do that? Like, can you just, you know, keep it moving after a bad play?
Yeah, you would like that to be the case. I haven't heard anything from the Texans that would say he's not a good leader. It is just an observation by Lance, and it did make me question. I would say, I don't know, but evidence would suggest I wouldn't say evidence. I would say the body language we see from CJ, I would not be surprised that people feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole, like, he doesn't inspire hope, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, the Tom Brady thing when it's 28-3 and him, like, just, like, sitting, like, still completely focused on the thing. It's, you know, his head would be back, it would be down, it would just be like, ugh. You know, that it looks like he's in a constant state of, ugh, when things are like, ugh.
Yeah, and that may just be how he projects, it may not be how he feels, but all we get is what we see on television for 3 hours and 15 minutes every week, and I'm not surprised that Lance came to that conclusion. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to jump in on that conversation, you can, 713-780-3776. We will get to college football in the second hour. Of course, your calls are always welcome. And we'll talk some Rockets as well. And also, the Dylan Cease train is rolling. We have John Morosi talking about the possibility of him becoming an Astro. And while the Justin Verlander thing feels like a foregone conclusion, if we listen to what Chandler Rome is saying, John Morosi is pretty strongly indicating that Dylan Cease has a real shot of being an Astro. So we'll talk some Astros before we wrap up the show. Joe, I see you. You want to talk C.J. Stroud. Anyone else, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Joe here. He called in about C.J. Stroud. What's up, Joe? Joe, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, so, you know, my call was about...
I'm going to go with bad connection. I ain't going to go lights too bright. I don't know. Joe, if you want to get in about C.J. Stroud's body language, you're welcome to. The quarterback sometimes looks like he'd rather be someplace else. That's all.
Yeah.
But when things are great, he's great. He told us that himself. When I'm rolling, I'm one of the best there is.
Yeah.
What about when you're not rolling?
But when he's playing really well,
he feels great, and he continues to play well. He's a rhythm quarterback, I would say. I don't know that he can dig himself out of a bad rhythm, but if the rhythm is there, he can start flowing. I mean, then he's a guy who's going to be accurate on time and kind of tough to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, Davis Mills, on the other hand, Captain Comeback. Second largest comeback in Texans history.
Yes, only behind a Matt Schaub led.
Yeah, against the Chargers.
Against the Chargers on Monday night.
Because, of course, it was the Chargers.
Yeah, of course they would do that.
Like, of course it would be against. I was thinking, like, what was that game? I'd have no memory of
Ryan
that game.
Cushing might have had a pick six or something in that game.
And I was like, yeah, it was a Monday night against the Chargers. Like, of course it was.
It's the last game the Texans won that year. Hopefully history is not repeated there. They were 2-0 coming off a year where I think Matt Schaub got hurt in 2000. No, he was. Did he get hurt in 2012 too?
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Baltimore. Right in the playoffs in the divisional round.
No, that or was that in the New England one?
I think it might have been New England.
The first T.J. Yates one was they lost to Baltimore,
and then Matt Schaub got hurt again
in 12,
and then he came back and just started throwing picks in 2013. Is that how that played out?
Yeah. He started not just pick sixes.
Pick sixes, yes. He set a record
consecutive games, including one against the Seahawks that was so bad that Richard Sherman was like basically the only guy in the frame of the shot when he threw the interception.
And we had the Gary Kubiak health scare.
Yeah.
Case Keenum playing. Yeah, it was a miserable year, and it led to a lot of people losing their jobs. All right,
better vibes this time, though. Better vibes.
Yeah, better vibes, I would say. Let's avoid a long losing streak and guys getting fired.
Hey,
and a health scare for the head coach. Let's avoid all that.
Can't lose 13 in a row anymore. 14 in a row.
That's true. They're too deep into the year for that. Let's not tack on a long losing streak is all I'm saying. Let's get a win against the Titans and see where we stand after that. All right, Joe's back. I knew it was a phone thing. I knew the lights weren't too bright. What's up, Joe?
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you. I'm sorry for the bad connection. But my feedback was about C.J. Stroud's body language. And I've often wondered when looking at these Ohio State players if this was, you know, the good and the bad of playing at Ohio State, right? You win almost every week at Ohio State. Then you come to the league. And then when you take adversities like this, you know, you seem to see a little bit more of this body language from Ohio State players. I say that not only about C.J. Stroud, but I noticed it with Marvin Harrison, Olave. Before that, there was Michael Thomas. You know, it just seems to be that bad body language that just has, is more associated with Ohio State players, and I'm wondering if there's a correlation between, you know, their success in college and the reality of adversities that may face them in the NFL, and how badly they don't adjust very well. What do you guys think?
Appreciate it, Joe. I don't have knowledge of how the receivers do because I just don't watch them all that often. But your point about always winning makes some sense. Like Cooper Flagg earlier, I think it was last week maybe, he said, this is the most I've ever lost. He was a winner in high school. He was a winner in college for his 1 year at Duke. You know, maybe box out against the Cougs and maybe you're a bigger winner, but whatever. But he didn't know what losing felt like, and now he does. We'll see how he responds. He had a good game last night. The Mavs, because of the Mavs, blew it to the Bucks. But I would not be surprised if there is an adjustment period. You go to Ohio State, because they put guys in the league, you were a 4- or 5-star player, and all you do is win, unless you're playing Michigan most recently. So I think they all would have to adjust to losing if it hits them. Like Garrett Wilson has lost all the time in New York, and he has had some issues with body language. He got paid. He's still a very good player. Olave, unfortunately, is more about health than anything else. Maybe you have seen more of his body language when he's actually playing. Marvin Harrison had his issues. He is trying to bounce back from lack of production in some cases, him dropping footballs.
Marvin Harrison, senior, though,
made
the call.
Marvin Harrison
got things figured out.
Yeah, let me be clear. I'm talking about Marvin Harrison, Jr. I don't want to say a word about Marvin Harrison, Sr.
Other than what a great job he did getting his son the ball.
Yes, and he was a great receiver.
The next night.
Peyton Manning was a Harrison merchant. I swear, I love Marvin Harrison, Sr.
Anyways.
He has been really good.
Yeah.
He didn't jump off the page early, but he's been great.
Yeah.
At least Sam Darnold, of all people.
Yeah, I do wonder, because, like, Ohio State's not the only team that has the stacked rosters
and
that
rarely loses
win 10 games every year. That's true. Like
Alabama,
Georgia. Like, I wonder if it's because like they're all receivers and quarterbacks. Like they all play together, and it's like, oh, as a unit, they're just always insane.
Successful, pretty much. Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk about Cooper Flagg being like, I've never lost this much. Do you think CJ Stroud's like, I don't know the last time I threw to a receiving core that wasn't stacked full of future Pro Bowlers going up against, Big Ten West.
It was pretty teams. Yeah, it was pretty good in his rookie year when Nikon Tank popped and showed out. But we were having a discussion, and while we were joking, we're actually very serious about it, too, that he was playing with a less talented receiver core than he did in college.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many quarterbacks can say that? I mean, if I guess you play at LSU and you play at Ohio State, you can say that. But most times you can't. That you are throwing to first or second rounders your entire Ohio State career. And then you get to the Texans, and as we said, Nico and Tank popped. But those weren't first-round wide receivers.
No.
CJ was probably laughing at, Nico Collins at Michigan, your best receiver? What are you talking about? When they were rivals at the time. I don't know if they were even on the same field anymore. I forgot when Nico left and when CJ was still there.
So in 2022, CJ Stroud's final year at Ohio State, Jackson Smith. Oh, is this right? Jackson Smith and Jigba had 43 receiving yards. Yeah.
Didn't he had the big Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah. That might have been the year before. Or no, I don't know what year this is.
Because
I just typed in 2022.
That was CJ
Ohio State.
It was the year before because Olave and Wilson sat out the Rose Bowl.
That's right. That's right. So Harrison had 1,200. Abuka had 1,100. And then like Jason had 43 receiving. Travion Henderson barely played for this team. Like just to highlight, like these are the guys that didn't play on this team. You know, like this is the receiving options that he didn't throw to.
So maybe you're right, Joe, in some ways, that they did a lot of not only winning, but excelling at their own positions. And then when you come to the NFL, things are just different. And that's the case with everyone. We would actually have to dive deep into, I guess, Ohio State culture. Do they promote an attitude where if you ain't winning and excelling at the highest level, then there's something wrong with the people around you? I don't know.
Okay, so the year before, 2021, Jason had 1,600 yards. So that had to have been the Rose Bowl year. Garrett Wilson had 1,000. Olave had 900. Travion Henderson had 310 receiving yards as a running back. Abuka had 119. Harrison had 139. Like, that. All these guys are not just NFL players, but NFL starters and guys that are like on fantasy teams and like produce in the NFL.
Yeah. Jackson Smith and Jigba had 15 total catches outside of 2021. Like he was injured or behind other guys, but he had the 1,600 yard season thanks to the Rose Bowl helped him out. But he was still the other guy. Even though he was having a great year before the Rose Bowl, he wasn't the guy because the other two were going pro and we all knew it. Oh, Marvin Harrison came back as well. I take that back. Marvin Harrison was waiting in the wings. He was a guy who was...
Yeah, he didn't play.
He didn't play. He was waiting in the wings while Olave and Garrett Wilson were sitting out because they were getting ready for the draft.
And now CJ Stroud throws to three Iowa State guys and Nico Collins.
It's a come down, I would say.
It's a little different.
The offensive line in some ways is probably less talented as well. There's a lot of things that are different for CJ and we have seen him at his heights be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And then the lows aren't like the lowest. He doesn't reach like Zach Wilson territory. But there are some instances where you're like, you just want more. And hopefully, when he comes back, we'll get that. We'll see if that's this Sunday against the Titans. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you would like to join us, 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll hear from John Morosi because an Astros target around the trade deadline may be an Astros acquisition this offseason. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Just go to the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and pick a a vehicle you want, whether it's a car or a truck. They have great vehicles for anyone and everyone. Whatever your type is as far as vehicles are concerned, whatever you're interested in, it's going to be there for you. That includes the new and pre-owned inventory. And I always like to remind you, if you're a business owner and you're looking for something for your fleet, they have vehicles for that as well. So whatever you're looking for, vehicle related, it's there for you. And once you get it on the campus, I like to call it a campus because it's that large. They have a service department, a parts department. They've got a wide selection of vehicles as well. It all comes together to match the people there. They have great people that'll sell you a great vehicle. So once you talk to the salespeople, they'll take you inside, and you talk to the finance people, and they'll help you out, get you into the car that you're going to love at a price that you're going to love. So Monument Chevrolet is the website. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Find the car or truck that you'll love. Drive off that lot. And once you're there, you become family. When you're in business for 50 years, that means you're treating people right, and they'll treat you right as you get the vehicle of your choice. So MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.